Money FM 89.3, best of breakfast. Morning Shot.
Welcome to Morning Shot. I'm Audrey Seek. The trillions of dollars needed for the global economy to reach net zero emissions by 2050 is not a cost. Speaking at the recent Ecosperity Week organized by Temasek, Singapore President Tharman Shanmugaratnam pointed to the investments required to push us along on our journey to become greener, referring to those monies as a crucial investment and opportunity to boost growth and jobs and to spur the development path for more than half of humanity. He also emphasized on the importance of addressing the tripled crises of climate change, water, and biodiversity loss together, which will yield much greater economic opportunities and benefits to society than dealing with each separately. So for more insights, we're joined by Zhu Wenjun, Deputy Director of the Insurance Risk and Finance Research Center and Associate Professor at NTU's Nanyang Business School. Professor Zhu, thanks for joining us on The Breakfast Show. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me.
It's great to have you on to chat about these investments needed for net zero. So these are obviously not small investments, right? And it seems like a monumental task trying to tackle three crises all at once. How can businesses begin to tackle this, and how can they balance immediate gains with long-term sustainability?
The crises are not dependent, as you mentioned. They are interdependent, influencing and exacerbating one another in ways that demand a unified approach. For example, human use of land, which primarily for agricultural production is a main driver of biodiversity loss, which in turn is accelerated by climate change through its impact on habitats and species. And this biodiversity loss impacts ecosystem services that are crucial for things like crop pollination and water purification, directly affecting food security and water availability. And recent climate-induced extreme weather events have highlighted these connections. So from a business perspective, the immediate challenge is balancing quantifiable short-term returns, such as revenue, profit, and cost savings, against long-term sustainability goals that are less straightforward to quantify, such as being more resilient in the transition to net zero, better brand reputation, and ensuring regulatory compliance. This balance is not just beneficial, it's crucial for future-proofing business against upcoming environmental regulations and shifting consumer expectations. To manage these challenging, forward-thinking companies are turning to innovative financing mechanisms like green bonds and sustainability-linked loans. Mm. And public sector support also play an important role, because new technologies for climate solutions, such as carbon capture and storage technologies, are vital but might be too risky and may not be immediately profitable. Public support, such as tax breaks, subsidies, and risk mitigations, will encourage private investment in these areas. This support not only speed up innovation, but also helps companies align their business models with long-term sustainability goals.
So it seems like collaboration is also very important when it comes to tackling all of these issues. So where do you see public and private sectors kind of joining forces most effectively, especially concerning managing climate risk and the money flow?
Yeah, I think there are many areas that the public and private sectors can work closely together. One important area for these sectors to partner is through joint investment in infrastructure that protects communities and ecosystems from climate impacts. For example, constructing sea level rise defenses, renewable energy facilities, energy efficient buildings, water conservation systems, and so on. Another critical area for collaboration, I think, is risk mitigation and data sharing. Effective management of climate risks require accurate data and advanced modeling techniques. Government agencies have access to comprehensive and extensive climate and environmental data, while public sector has detailed business and operation data. By collaboration, advanced climate risk models can be developed, which provide better and more accurate measurement and management strategies for climate risks. For example, insurance and reinsurance companies are experts in risk management and have access to large volumes of disaster and catastrophic loss data. A collaboration between the insurance industry and the public sector can enhance public planning, loss prevention, and emergency relief. Insurance data helps to identify high-risk areas prone to natural disasters, such as floods and earthquakes. Public agencies can then optimize this procedure and prioritize infrastructure improvements in these areas to mitigate risks. In addition, this shared data can also help optimize emergency response procedures, ensuring quicker and more efficient relief during disasters.
Yeah, so lots of benefits that come with working together. So, Professor Du, what do you think are the main gaps when it comes to aligning investment with what's needed for the climate? How can these gaps be bridged then?
I think technology gap is one of the key gaps that prohibits investment flows to climate risks. New technologies are very risky, so most companies cannot see immediate returns. This makes it less attractive to private companies, especially those responsible for shareholders through public reporting and scrutiny. This results in a misalignment between the financial incentives available and the areas where investments are most needed to mitigate climate risks. So closely related to this gap includes data gap, market gap, reputation gap, and talent gap. Without effective and transparent data sharing mechanisms, investors lack information to accurately assess climate risk exposure for them to make informed decisions. And the current market does not adequately price in climate risk, leading to underinvestment in areas that are crucially vulnerable to climate impacts. Inconsistent regulatory policies and reporting standards across countries increase uncertainty and discourage investments in innovative climate solutions. And finally, there is a shortage of talent in areas of climate science, sustainable finance, and climate risk management, especially interdisciplinary talents to develop solutions to address these challenges. So one effective way to bridge this gap is through government-led initiatives that transform innovation. A good example is the recent launched Climate Transformation Program, CTP, led by Professor Ben Horton from Nanyang Technological University, supported by the Ministry of Education Singapore. The CTP generates interdisciplinary knowledge and innovation, translating scientific results into practical solutions for Singapore, Southeast Asia, and beyond. It represents a model of multi-stakeholder collaboration, bringing together government, industry, and academia to address climate challenges.
All right. So you talked about the talent gap there. So Singapore is investing a good amount in upskilling its finance professionals for sustainability, some 35 million Singapore dollars to help about 50,000 financial services sector professionals. So how crucial is this to embed sustainability into financial job roles? And what does this training kind of involve?
I think it's very important, it's very crucial and also urgent to incorporate sustainability and climate risk into the current finance professionals. The finance professionals need to expand their knowledge from traditional financial matrix to more environmental and climate areas to better understand how climate factors affect asset values, investments, and risk assessment. So this means that the professionals need to understand at least the basics of climate science, the integration of sustainability into financial risk assessment models, knowledge of regulation requirements, new financial instruments, how to evaluate investments based on ESG criteria, climate scenario analysis, and so on. So such training can be delivered through formal or informal education and certification programs, perhaps in collaboration with universities, industries, and international organizations. In implementing these training programs, communication is very important to convince professionals, especially the management, of the value of integrating sustainability into existing roles. Crucial. Otherwise, companies and professionals would view such programs as burden rather than opportunity. And moreover, I think it's also crucial to focus on not only upskilling the current workforce, we must also look into the future, integrating sustainability-related knowledge into the education system at all levels, from primary schools through to universities or even executive education, ensures that the next generation grows up with a comprehensive understanding of sustainability issues.
All right, Professor Du, last question for you before we let you go. Zooming into Southeast Asia in particular, the region presents a pretty diverse landscape. So how do you suggest we navigate the unique financing needs of each individual country while pushing for a green transition at scale?
Yes, Southeast Asia has significant diversity, not only culturally, but also in terms of level of economic maturity and environmental challenges. And this diversity demands tailored approaches to sustainability, especially each country faces unique climate change risks and the varying levels of market readiness. For example, my research team estimates that the impact of El Nino, for example, could range from 2-degree GDP loss in Singapore to 13-degree in Indonesia. And this variability highlights the need for localized solutions to enable this green transition at scale in Southeast Asia needs integration of scientific research, effective implementation, and strong community engagement. Local government plays a crucial role here, involving local decision makers and communities ensure alignment with regional needs and values. Innovation is also very important. Innovation in financial mechanisms and finance structures and so on that are tailored to each country's specific needs are also crucial to facilitate this transition. Singapore's leadership in green financing sets a benchmark in the region, encouraging market-based solutions to the environmental challenges and corporate responsibility. Supportive policies and regulatory environments are also important, attracting global investors looking for sustainable opportunities in regions with clear, consistent legislation. Mm. Moreover, enhancing conventional infrastructure like transportation, electricity, and water system in rural areas is also important because these improvements facilitate the industrialization of green products, promoting broader economic development and ensuring financial viability.
All right, a great look into the financial implications and collaborative efforts needed to achieve net zero emissions by 2050. Professor Zhu, thanks for explaining all of this to us this morning.
Thank you.
That was Zhu Wenjun, Deputy Director of the Insurance Risk and Finance Research Center and Associate Professor at NTU's Nanyang Business School. Stay with us on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio at the App Store and Google Play.